Well, happy Canada Day. Long weekend to you guys, as Zach said. We are so glad that you guys are here. We are so glad that you guys, on this long weekend, when you guys could have done anything else and gone anywhere else, you decided to be here in community with us this morning. And so we are so thankful. We are excited that you are here this morning. My name is Brock, and I am, like Zach said, one of the pastors here at Westside. Dave, our lead pastor, our teaching pastor, who is up here every week blessing us with teaching from God's word. We are giving him some much-needed R&R these next couple weeks because they are expecting, any day now, their first little baby. So we are excited for them. You guys can be thinking and praying for them during this time. But we just want to really just bless them with some time just to focus on this beautiful moment in their life. My name is Brock. Again, I am one of the pastors here at Westside. And I realize that some of you guys are going to have no clue who I am. And you're going to be listening to me talk for the next half hour. So I thought that what I would do is let you guys know a little bit about who I am. I grew up here in Hamilton. Just down the street, actually, off Aberdeen, if you guys know the area. Went to school here at McMaster, and that is where I met my lovely wife, Melissa. I don't know if you guys have a picture up there or not, but Melissa was doing social work at McMaster. She did her master's there. This was us at Halloween this past year here, actually, right back there where Mark's sitting. This is my family. So Melissa graduated McMaster. She is now a social worker for the Hamilton School Board in Hamilton. These are my two amazing little boys. Ori is our oldest, and he runs our house. He's the firefighter. He is just such a blessing from God. And our little Dalmatian dog is Ashton. Ashton is about a year and a half old now, just over a year and a half old now. We moved in this neighborhood about 5 years ago, bought a house before the housing market just skyrocketed, so we were pretty fortunate about that. And we have a small little bungalow in this neighborhood. We love this neighborhood. Our heart and our desire is for the West End of Hamilton. We love these people. We love this community. We believe that God has great things in store here. So my wife, who's from the Montreal area, we have decided together 5 or 6 years ago that we were going to set up roots here and just really allow God to use us for his glory in this neighborhood. So that's a little bit about me. And that's a little bit about my story. We today are going to be doing a two-week mini-series, like Zach said, called Puzzled. Because sometimes in life, things aren't always as they seem. Right? You guys think about your life for a second. Is there ever a moment, a situation, where something just wasn't what it seemed? And it left you a little puzzled. Okay, I don't know if we still have that picture of the family up, but a few weeks ago, we were having dinner together as a family. And I don't know about you guys, but for us, we try, in the busyness of life, we try to spend dinner time together every night and just really soak that time in together as a family. And a couple weeks ago, we were having dinner together. And do you ever have one of those moments where you just feel like you've arrived? Yeah, like man, this is just a great moment in my life. And I feel like this is just, man, I've just arrived. Like, this is a great moment in my life. So I was sitting there at dinner time, and Ori was in his big boy chair, and Ashton was in his high chair eating and throwing stuff on the ground, and we're all talking about our day, and we're laughing, and it was just like a great moment. Do you ever have moments like this, and you sit back, and you're like, this is great. And you know what? I'm a great father, right? Like, my kids are great. They're eating their food properly. I mean, a little bit of food on the ground is not a big deal when you're a year and a half years old. We're laughing. I mean, things are just great, and God has brought us to this moment. And I was pretty proud of myself in that moment. I was pretty proud of my parenting skills. You know, this whole parenting thing, guys, like, it's not as hard as people say it is. You know, like, I had it down in that moment. I mean, the kids were just doing great. My wife was laughing and telling us about her day. And it was just one of those moments where I just started soaking it in and just really enjoying it. And I had this bubble going on. And then Ori, my oldest, leans to me and says, hey, Dad, can I go to the washroom? And being the great father that I am, who's arrived, I lean over and I say, well, of course, son. You are a big boy. You can go and handle the situation on your own. So I let him go down the hallway and around the corner, and he shuts the bathroom door. Now, one thing you need to know about Ori right now is he is in this phase in his life where he is a big boy, all right? So, like, he wants to do big boy stuff. He wants to ride his bike like his big boy friends without the training wheels. You know, he wants to watch his big boy shows on Netflix, like Nauticals or something like that. He wants to watch all these things and do all these things, and that's him right there with his big boy Happy Meal. I don't know what the name of these are. Some of you guys might know. But this is him, and he's all about being a big boy right now. So naturally, in this moment, as a great, amazing father who's arrived, I let him go to the washroom by himself, and he goes down the hall and shuts the door. So we're having dinner. We continue our conversation, Melissa and I, and Melissa leans over and she's like, you know, I think I need to go check on him. He's been in there for a while. So being the good mother that she was, she went and checked on him, and I stayed and ate my dinner. And she's walking down the hallway, and just as she turns the corner to look into the bathroom, she lets out this scream. Okay, now, the scream could only really formulate two words, okay? Ori, no. Okay, but it wasn't like that. It was more like, Ori, no! And she runs into the bathroom. Now, being the great father that has arrived, I waited for a few minutes, took a couple more bites, walked down the hallway, and I didn't even have to turn the corner to know what was going on because the floodgates had opened in the bathroom, and we have a wooden floor hallway, and I could see the water was pouring down into the hallway. So I turned the corner, and Ori, being the big boy that he was, who as a father had perceived that he was a big boy that could handle the situation, he had gone to the washroom, did a great job. He proceeded to get his high chair, his high stool, and step on it and start washing his hands. Now, somewhere in the process of him being a big boy washing his hands, he got distracted. You see, Ori has these Paw Patrol toys that were on a sink, and if you guys are parents with kids my age, you know what I'm talking about right now. He's got the Paw Patrol toys, and one of his Paw Patrol toys is named Zuma. And why Zuma had to be there in that one moment, I don't know. But Zuma was there, and Zuma is a water dog. So, Ori felt that he had to create an environment for Zuma in that moment. So he turned on the taps, washing his hands, he plugged the drain and let the water run and starts playing with Zuma and Chase and some of his other dogs, and he's just having a great time, and the water starts pouring over the sink, off the tiles, and down into the hallway, and we run in as parents, we shut off the tap, put towels down everywhere, I run down to our tenant's house, who he's here today, I'm not sure if he even knows this, but the water started pouring down through his ceiling, and man, I remember in that moment thinking, sometimes in life, things aren't what they seem. I mean, I thought as a father that I was doing great. I thought as a father that Ori was big enough to handle this situation on his own, and he wouldn't get distracted, and he wouldn't start doing some other stuff in life. And sometimes these things can leave us really confused. These things can leave us puzzled. And life, if you will, can be like doing a puzzle. So today I have this little demonstration, and I hope you guys can follow along with my thinking. But when you guys do puzzles, if you do puzzles, there's a few different ways that you guys can do puzzles, right? Now, you could be one of those people that are the color sorters. And you're like, man, when I'm doing a puzzle, I got to sort everything by its color. So greens are for grasses, blues are for skies. You know, I got to have, what do I got here? I got yellows for flowers. Okay, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sort these colors off, and then I'll put all those pieces together, and you guys are like, man, I'm a color person, and some of you guys are like, colors? No way, man, I'm a border person. So I'm going to put things, I'm going to get the corner pieces, I'm going to put the borders up, and then I need framework, I need rules, I need a strategy, I need to work within some sort of safe environment, so I got to put the borders up. And the rest of you guys might be like, yeah, puzzles, yeah, no. I'll be in there watching the game, okay? And that's cool, because that's probably like me too. But you guys ever notice that when you're doing a puzzle, I know most of us have probably done a puzzle at some point in our life, but when you're doing a puzzle, do you know what you always find? Okay, I got the colors. Okay, I got the borders. I got the corners. Do you know what you always find, though? You have a piece like this, where you're like, where does it fit? Where does it go? And you go back to the puzzle, and you're like, okay, I mean, it's not matching with my colors. It's not a border piece, not a corner piece. Where does this thing go? And, you know, you're looking around, and you're like, okay, it's got to go here. And you're like, okay, it doesn't go there. Why doesn't it go there? And you're thinking, okay, it's got to go here, and it doesn't really go there. And then you're like, okay, and if you're being real honest with yourself, and I'm a real honest person, sometimes that freaks people out, but I want you guys to be honest, okay? Ask yourself, you know, turn and look at your spouse or your friend and say, man, this is what I do. I'm being honest right now. You guys are doing a puzzle, and you don't know where the piece goes, and you're like, okay, it's got to go here. I mean, this looks the same. It's the same color, same shape, and man, I start, like, putting that piece in there, and it's got to go in there, and maybe it goes in there for a bit, and then it pops back out, and you start to get a little angry and a little frustrated, and you're like, where does this piece go? You know what you need when you're doing a puzzle? You need this. Because this helps to make sense of all of this. Especially those pieces where we don't know where they fit. But you know, in life, we don't have this. God has this. And what we're given are these. We're given pieces. And sometimes these can leave us puzzled because we don't have this. And today and for the next 2 weeks, we're going to shape our thoughts and our ideas around this one passage. I want you guys to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, or you guys can just follow along on the screen behind me or pull it up on your iPhones, whatever you guys want to do. I hope you guys are blessed by this passage this morning. Listen, if you guys are Christians, I hope today is really a reminder and encouragement about our faith, about what faith is and trust. And if you guys are new today and you guys haven't been to church in a long time, or man, maybe this is your first time here, hopefully this paints a little bit of a picture for you guys about Christians and what our faith and what our trust is really all about and how it looks on a practical level. So 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. Now, listen, I love class participation, so, and I realize, man, I know you guys are sitting down and there's a reason you guys are in the chairs because it's comfortable and it's relaxing, but if you guys can help me out here, that would be great. Every time, look at the screen behind me, every time there's a now, can you guys say now? And every time there's a then, can you guys say then? No? Yes? No? This is not a good start. Okay, let's do this thing. Now, we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely. Oh, I missed it. But I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me. You guys are awesome. You guys are really good. Okay, so what we have here is we have Paul writing this, and what we have is we have two realities going on, okay? We have the now, which is the present reality, and we have the then, which is a future reality, and we're looking forward to the future reality. And here's the situation, okay? And I always tell the youth and everyone else I teach, I say, listen, every time you guys read a passage, ask yourself, how am I like the people in this story? Who am I like in this story? Okay, and what we have is we have Paul writing to this church in Corinth, the city of Corinth, and this church isn't doing so well. This church is struggling in their faith. They got a lot of hard situations that are going on, and they need to be reminded about their trust and their faith and how important that is. And Paul steps into the picture, and he says, man, I need to explain to them that what we understand about life now and the situations that we're given now and the events that happen to us now and the puzzle pieces that we're given now, man, we don't really get it all. Our knowledge is limited. But there will come a day where we will look back and God will give us a perfect clarity as to why everything happened the way it did. And so what he does is he thinks about this city, and Corinth in the day was known for its bronze polished mirrors. And he says, okay, this is the illustration I'm going to use. He says, listen, church, I know you guys are going through hard times right now and you don't really understand why these events happen to you guys in your life. He said, it's like a bronze polished mirror that you guys make and you're known for. He said, and when you look at the mirror, listen, it's imperfect. And it's like looking at a puzzling reflection in this mirror, okay? You look at it and maybe you can make yourself out a little bit. Maybe you can see the color of your hair, but you can't see all the details and how it all comes together. He says, that, church, is like how we understand events now in this world and why they unfold the way they do. He says, but then, there's going to come a day where we will understand clearly, perfectly, why every little thing has happened to us in this life. And he said, it's not like looking at a polished mirror. It's so perfect. It's like looking at someone face to face, and you see them clearly. That's the then. And so it's like this puzzle. We're given pieces, and there's things that, you know, we're going to know, and we're going to see, we're going to kind of understand the framework of it, and we're going to be like, okay, I get why that's happening. I understand that. But then we get these pieces, and we're like, man, well, why? I can't see clearly. I mean, I'm in the now, and I don't understand the now. I mean, help me to understand the then. Like, this now piece is horrible. And for some of you guys, I mean, this now could be your health. And you guys are like, man, I had big plans. I wanted to retire. I wanted to live to this ripe old age. Man, Brock, I've been saving money for years. I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to retire somewhere where it was warm. I just wanted to spend all this time with my grandkids. And now the doctor just sat me down and told me that I got some serious health problems. And that's my now. For some of you guys, it could be your jobs, and you just lost your job. And you're like, man, this job was supposed to take me places. This job was supposed to provide for my family and launch my career, and now I've just lost it. That's my now. For some of you guys, you could be students here, and you're like, man, I came to Mac, and I did this undergrad program, and this undergrad program was supposed to launch me to another program, which was going to launch my career. Well, now I'm done the undergrad, and I didn't get into the other program. Now what? You see, I can't see clearly, Brock, as to what's next and why God's allowing this to happen. For some of you guys, it could be family problems, the peace that you guys have. I mean, maybe your kids aren't walking with the Lord. Maybe you can't have kids. I mean, maybe some of you guys, your marriages are falling apart. Maybe they already have fallen apart. And you're like, man, this isn't what I signed up for, and this is my now, and God, I don't understand the then. And maybe some of you guys have lost loved ones this past year, recently. And you're like, man, this person, they're supposed to be with me. They're a huge part of my life, and now they're gone. And that's my now. And I'm struggling, God, to see the then. And why? How does this fit in the story? How does this fit in the puzzle? We're going to look at a story in Scripture to help us answer that question. Can you guys turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 12? This is a story we don't really talk about a lot on Sundays, but it's going to help us a lot to understand. You see, when we're given puzzle pieces like this, guys, as Christians and even as non-Christians, it creates a tension in our life, okay? And the tension is this. When we're given a piece like this, we struggle to live in the now, trusting God for the then. I mean, it's a struggle, right? I mean, if we're being real with ourselves this morning, God, how do I live in the now of the questions and the uncertainty and the struggles? Trusting you for the now, for the then. How do I do that? It's so hard. And that's a tension. When you take that beautiful step in your faith, this is something you're going to struggle with for the rest of your days on earth as a Christian. How do we live in the now? With these puzzle pieces that, man, we just don't understand how they fit. And trust God for the then. Well, for that answer, let's look at this story. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Here we go. Now, when John... Now, we're going to stop there for a second. I realize we got church people in this room, we got unchurched people. So what I'm going to do is going to put this in context a little bit. John, who is John? Who is this guy? It's important that we know this because there's no point going on in the story if we don't know who John is. This is John the Baptist. Some of you guys are like, yeah, no, I don't know who that is. Okay, so here's the thing. John the Baptist, huge character in Scripture. This is the John the Baptist who is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, okay? Which means there's an old part of the Bible, and there's a new part of the Bible. The new part is Jesus and after Jesus, and the old part is before Jesus, okay? And the Old Testament prophecy says this about John in Isaiah 40, verse 3, I'm going to send one to prepare the way for the Lord, like a voice crying out in the wilderness. This is the John the Baptist. He is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, which means hundreds of years before Jesus even came, man, there was these guys that were prophets of God that said there's going to come a guy, and he's going to let people know that Jesus is here and Jesus is God, and he's going to proclaim it for everyone to know. That's John the Baptist. This is the John the Baptist whose mother was Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was cousins with Mary, Jesus' mother, which means if you're doing the math at home, that means John and Jesus were second cousins, okay? This is the John the Baptist. Now do what you want with this story and make sense of it how you will. This is the John the Baptist who, when Elizabeth was pregnant with John and Mary was pregnant with Jesus, when Mary approached Elizabeth and greeted Elizabeth, the Bible tells us that John the Baptist heard Mary's voice and leapt for joy in the womb because he knew he was in the presence of Jesus. This is the John the Baptist who went into the wilderness, baptizing and proclaiming the kingdom of God. And when he saw Jesus, he told the crowds, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This is the John the Baptist who, when he baptized Jesus and pulled him out of the water, the Scripture tells us that the clouds parted, a dove descended, and a voice is heard from heaven saying, "This is my son Jesus, in whom I'm well pleased." Now, I think it's a safe assumption to say, if you're a Christian here and you believe God's word to be truth, I think it's a fair assumption to say that John knew who Jesus was. Right? Okay, let's keep reading. Here we go. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, that's Jesus, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" I mean, you guys just heard what I just said about John the Baptist, right? I mean, this is the guy who was the prophecy of Old Testament. This is the guy who heard the voice from heaven saying, "This is Jesus, my son." This is the guy who proclaimed the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who leapt for joy in his mother's womb. And now he's saying, are you really God? I mean, how can John do this? Why would John do this? Why would he be questioning God? It's because John was given one of these. See, John's in prison. And he's just been given a puzzle piece that he has no idea why and where it fits in his story. And he goes to his disciples, his followers, John, and he says, can you go to Jesus and can you ask him, like, really, are you God? Because I'm in the now, and I'm struggling to understand the then. So go, guys, go ask him. Are you really God? You see, Jesus, I went into the wilderness for you, proclaiming the kingdom of God. The wilderness. Like, man, there is no Starbucks. There is no Holiday Inn Express. There is not even a Coke machine. There's nothing. I did that for you. I mean, Jesus, I wore camel's hair. I know this is kind of weird if you're not really familiar with the Christian stories, but I wore camel's hair for you. Camel's hair, guys, really? Ugh. I ate wild locust for you, God, and honey for you. And now I'm in prison. I got one of these, and I don't understand it. So disciples, go ask him, like, is he really God? Are you really the Messiah? Because I'm in the now. And I don't understand it then. So the disciples go, and this is what happens. They ask Jesus the question, and this is what Jesus tells them. He says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. When you guys hear this part of the story, if you're a Christian in the room today, if you're following Jesus, this is the good part of the story, right? Like, this is the part of the story where you guys hear this and you're like, yes, this is good news. And you guys should high-five each other and you should start getting your worship on. And Will should come up here and lead you guys in more songs because this is a good thing, right? And the reason we like this and the reason that we respond to this is because it makes sense and it's good. Yes, the blind receive their sight. The dead are raised. The deaf hear. All these things are great. They're good. They're good things. They're good things. And they make sense. And these are the parts of the puzzle piece this is the good part of the puzzle. When you guys are, man, this makes sense. Okay, here's the border. I got the border down. Here, I got these pieces. And you're like a little, like, puzzle ninja. And you're putting things together. You're like, pow, pow, this makes sense. Everything's good. Everything's fitting together. Yes. Because it makes sense and it's good. But then Jesus throws a change up here. This is what he says in verse 6. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. The NIV version says, and blessed is the one who does not stumble on account of me. And the NLT says, blessed is those who do not turn away because of me. What's he saying? I mean, I like the other part. That was good. It made sense. I mean, when I signed up to be a Christian, like, I want to be on the winning team. What's Jesus saying? Well, he's telling John this. He's saying, John, listen, I am the Messiah. When the blind see, when the deaf hear and the lame walk. And John, I'm even the Messiah when the dead are raised to life and the poor have good news preached to them. But John, I need you also to hear that I am the Messiah when you stay in prison and you eventually die there. You see, John didn't get out. Blessed are those who do not stumble, who do not walk away because of my will, because of what I'm doing, because of those pieces in life when you just don't understand what they make sense, how they make sense. You see, John, there's been a lot of good things that you've done in this life, a lot of great things that you've been a part of, and I have been your God through that process. And John, you're in some hard times right now, and it's going to get harder. And John, I'm still your God throughout that process. You see, my sovereignty does not depend on your circumstances, is what he's telling John. And this is something that we need to hear this morning, all of us, okay? Because we are going to have puzzles in life, and there's going to be some great pieces, and then you're going to have those hard pieces. And God's telling us, guys, listen, I get it. But I am God through the good pieces and through the bad pieces. And my sovereignty does not depend on your circumstances. My sovereignty, which means my rule, my reign, who I am, what my plan is. It's not contingent on your personal circumstances. And he's telling John this in this moment. He's saying, John, listen, I know you don't see it now. You're in the now. But this peace that you're going through, this struggle that you really don't understand, it fits. Man, it goes right here, and it's beautiful, John. You just don't see it yet. I mean, this is where it goes, John, and I know you don't like it, and I know it doesn't feel good, and I know you're questioning me, but John, this is where it goes. And it's going to be good. You just don't see it yet. So here's the tension. Okay, if I don't see it, God, I mean, how do I live in the now and I trust you for the then? I mean, God, if we can't see it, how do we do that? Well, before I get to that answer, and it's a really, really simple answer, before I get to that, I want to talk about one thing that can really trip us up as Christians. And maybe this has tripped you up so much that you've left the church. You see, what happens is a lot of times we'll do what John just did. You know, we take a bold step in our faith and we're like, God, man, I'm going to live for you. I love you. I love you in these good times in my life. And then when we get some hard times, and man, we've all been through some hard times, we start to question God and we start to doubt God. And maybe we even go so far as to say, God, do you even exist? Are you even real? That's exactly what John does in this situation. And I want to tell you, I want to be crystal clear this morning. That is not a bad thing. But you know what can happen during these questions and doubt? It can lead to us putting barriers up between ourselves and God. And so we'll have a little voice in our head, or we'll convince ourselves of stuff like this. We'll say, man, if I'm questioning God, if I'm questioning his will or why he's allowing things to happen, and maybe I'm even questioning if God exists, maybe I'm not a Christian. And maybe, man, if I'm thinking that, man, maybe God, are you even the Messiah? Maybe God doesn't want anything to do with me. I mean, I'm just so full of doubts, and I'm so full of questions. And Jesus is warning us, guys. He's saying, listen, don't let these questions, don't let this doubt, don't let these situations in your life be a stumbling block. Don't walk away because of these questions. I mean, use these questions, use this doubt to launch your faith, to get answers, to grow. Don't listen to that little voice in your head that says, man, you're no good. God doesn't love you because of these questions. If that's you this morning, and I know it has been most of us at some point in our faith where we question God, maybe we even question if he exists and he loves us. If that's you, or you guys know someone like that in your life, you got to check this other verse out. This is a beautiful thing. So check this out in verse 11. Jesus sends John's disciples away, and he goes, okay, go tell John, you know, in prison, you know, the blind receive their sight, and you know, blessed are those who don't stumble because of me. Okay, go tell John. And then what he does is he gathers the crowds. And he says, okay, I need to tell you guys something about John because, you know, this guy who's doubting me, this guy who has all these questions about me because he's going through some hard times in life, this is what I got to tell you about John, okay? So this is what he says. Verse 11. And truly I say to you, among those born of women, which is all of us, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. You see, even in the midst of John's doubt, Jesus affirms John. You see, because Jesus understands the tension of living in the now and trusting God for the then. He gets it. That's our God. He says, John, I'm going to love you through that whole thing, that whole process, that whole tension. I am going to love you through that. I'm going to affirm you because I get it. It's hard. And guys, this morning, I need you to hear this, okay? When we're in the now, it's okay to have questions. When you're in the now and your marriage has fallen apart or you've lost all your money or you didn't get into the program, it's okay to have questions. It's okay to put your fist up in the air and throw a temper tantrum. It's okay to have these puzzle pieces and be like, man, where does this fit? I don't get it. It's got to go here. It's okay. It's okay. God's big enough. John did it. John. And he affirms him. And he loves him. And he says, I get it, guys. You're my kids. I love you guys. I know you guys. I know the struggle. I know the predicament of living in the now and not being able to see how this all unfolds for the future. Dave said something a couple weeks ago, or sorry, last week to end his selfie series. He said, trusting God more than in the outcomes. Trusting God more than in the outcomes. And to paraphrase that today, I'm going to say this. Our faith is in God. Our faith is not in the outcomes that we want. You know, there's a few passages in Scripture that give us a little window into God's tomorrows. know, because I'm sitting up here and I'm telling you guys, trusting God's tomorrows, trusting God's, you know, we live in the now, trusting the then, okay, the then. And there are windows, guys, and this is why it's so important. We hound you guys all the time to get into God's word. Don't take our word for it. Read the word of God and see what his promises for tomorrow are. And one of those is probably one of the most famous passages that a lot of church people know. It's Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And I know this passage has been taken out of scripture, but this passage represents the heartbeat of God. And he was telling his people in one of the hardest times of the history of the Jewish people, this is what he said to the Jewish people about the future. Not about their circumstances, but about their future. He said this, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." I mean, God's saying, listen, and he's saying this to the Jewish people in the Old Testament. He's saying to the church today, listen, I know you guys are in the now, and there's going to be hard times, but trust me, I am up to something, and there's going to be a then, and the then is so good, and the then is beautiful. You just don't see it yet. So don't put your hope, don't put your trust in the outcomes that you want. Put your hope and your trust in God, because he has a great plan in store. And that's what Dave said last week, trusting God more than the outcomes. You know, guys, really, at the heart of it, our faith and our trust is in God and what he's up to, not in the outcomes we want. And that's what we'll do sometimes, guys. It's a little heads up, a little bit of a warning. When we face these hard times as Christians, and some of you guys are just starting out on this journey, when you guys get into hard times, you're gonna be like, what? I thought it was just the good stuff. Like, I thought it was just the blind scene. And no, and there's hard times now. And what we do with God is we prescribe outcomes. We say, okay, God, we got a hard situation. I get it, okay. And I'm going to put my hope and my trust that you will prescribe the outcome I want. So what you're really doing is you're putting your faith in your own outcomes and hoping that God comes through. So check this out. And I know this is kind of sad, but go with me for a second, okay? Let's say, for example, you sat in the office of your family doctor. And he sat you down and he said, listen, I don't know how to tell you this, but you got cancer. You've got a couple months to live. And you go home that night and you go to the end of your bed and you start crying and you're pouring your heart out to God. And in that moment where you just totally surrender your life to God and your heart to God, you hear this voice come over you. It's just like, it's going to be okay. And you know what you think in that moment? I'll tell you what you think, because this is what most of us will do. You think, if you hear a voice in your head that says it's going to be okay, you think that you're going to be healed. You prescribe an outcome. And so you're like, okay, it doesn't matter what the doctors say, it doesn't matter what science says and all the test results say, I am going to be healed. God said, no, 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 that's not what I said. I said it's going to be okay. He said, no, 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 God. If you said it's okay, I'm going to prescribe an outcome right now and tell you that that means I'm going to be healed. And God's coming into the situation saying, no, you don't get it. My sovereignty does not depend on your circumstances. And here's what I want you guys to hear today. Here's the solution. Well, how do I live in the now and trust God for the then? Well, in the doubts of today, we trust God for his tomorrows. In the doubts of today, because I'm not going to prescribe outcomes. I'm not going to tell God how he needs to resolve things. And in the doubts and the struggles and the puzzle pieces of life, I'm going to trust in your tomorrows. And you know, in moments like that where we want to prescribe God an outcome, we say, God, listen, I have no idea what that means when you tell me in moments like that it's going to be okay. But in my doubts, I'm not going to prescribe an outcome. I'm going to trust in your tomorrows, whatever those tomorrows are. You see, guys, again, as Christians this morning, as followers of Jesus, and if you guys are unchurched people trying to understand us, that's what we do. That's what we try to do every day when we wake up. In the doubts of today, we trust in his tomorrows. We trust in God, not in the outcomes. Now, listen, I get it, and we're going to wrap up in a second. I get it that you guys are going to listen to me, and I'm like, okay, we got to trust God and not in the outcomes. And you guys are going to be like, Brock, you have no idea what I've gone through. You have no idea maybe what I'm going through right now. I mean, man, I got some outcomes in my life. I've gone through some things. Man, I got some puzzle pieces right now, Brock, that they are so brutal, and there's no way they can be a part of my story. How can you stand up here, Brock, and tell me this? And, man, I'm not going to pretend for 1 second that I know what it's like to walk in your shoes. I can't. All I can do is share with you guys some stories about me, and hopefully you guys can relate. When I had graduated high school, I was really into football. I was a huge football guy, if you guys know me at all, a little bit. I played all through junior high, and I played through high school, and then I played into university. And if you guys ever played on a sports team, you know the bond that you have with your teammates. I mean, it's like a family. And when we graduated, a whole group of us that were going off to university, we decided that we're going to go up to my family cottage for a few days and just spend time together before we all went to different universities. One of our friends that was in this circle of closeness that we had on the football team, his name was Tarvo, and Tarvo couldn't go because, you see, Tarvo was one of those guys that, I mean, first of all, he's one of those guys on the team that was just always positive, always smiling, always making you feel good about yourself and thinking about the good things in life. He was our starting safety on the defense. And I remember Tarvo was also one of those guys that just wasn't good at classes. He tried as hard as he could. He just wasn't good, so he didn't get into any universities. But he didn't care because he only had one passion in life, and that was planes. And he wanted to fly planes, and that was his dream, to fly planes. So Tarvo got into, I think, the Air Force. And he had to go to school earlier than the rest of us. So when we were going to the cottage, he couldn't come because he was going to the Air Force, whatever the Air Cadets was that he was getting into. So he left the next day. And I still remember that morning when we were packing up all of our stuff, and we had a couple cars, and we were all throwing the bags. We were at my house, and I get a phone call. This phone call just totally rocked my world. I guess Tarvo, the night before, when he was packing up, the guy that he was, he decided that before he left, he wanted to give back some of the stuff that he had for us. So he put it in the back of his pickup truck, and he went to our houses, and he started dropping stuff off before he left for school. And I guess in that phone call, what happened was Tarvo was going on Aberdeen, dropping stuff off, and he was in his pickup truck. And if you guys know Aberdeen, you know that there's a part of the road that dips under the bridge and keeps going. And I guess Tarvo, he was going a little fast, and he lost control of his truck. And I remember standing at his funeral, and our team lined up, all in black suits. It's the hottest day in August. We all lined up outside the church, and we just stood there. And they brought his casket out. And his mom and his sister, man, they had their arms wrapped around that casket, and they weren't letting go. We were just kids. I remember standing there thinking in that moment, I have no idea why this just happened. God, I don't understand. And to be real with you guys, I still don't understand. Not fully. And that was one of the puzzle pieces that I was given in high school. But I'll tell you what I do understand. I understand in God's goodness. And I know, and I've learned in life, that we're going to get a lot of these, right? And they're going to confuse us. They're going to make us really sad and frustrated. And sometimes we're even going to yell at God. But we serve a God that is bigger. We serve a God that is up to something so much more than we could ever imagine. And in Jeremiah, the Bible tells us it's called a plan. He's got a plan. And it's a plan to give us a hope and a plan to give us a future. And this plan is so much bigger, guys, than our circumstances. Isaiah 55, verse 9 says this about God's mind. It says, "For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." I mean, think about that for a second. God, I know the circumstance. I know how things should go. God, this is right, God. I know. Man, who are we to tell God how to do what God wants to do for his plan? Who are we? You know, what's cool about God in Romans 28, verse 28 says this. He says, you know, God is taking all these puzzle pieces, guys. He's taking the good ones and he's taking the bad things. And God promises us, he says, I'm going to take all of this and work it out for good for those who love me. Even the ones that, man, John, I know you don't understand how it's a part of your story, but I'm going to work it out for good. As Christians, me, I know who holds the box. And I know he's a good God. And I know he's a loving God. And I know that he is working all of this out for the good of those who love him. And in the doubts of today, I'll trust in his tomorrows. And some of you guys in this room are going to be like, Brock, how could you trust him? I mean, how could you do that? Well, because right now, we we see things imperfectly. Right now, we don't really get it. Right now, it's like looking at a blurry mirror, and we only see a little bit of how this comes together. But then we will see things clearly. And we'll get it that this ugly piece, it fit into the story beautifully. And without that ugly piece, the rest of the story couldn't come together. So how do we live in that tension of the now, trusting God for the then? Well, in the doubts of today, guys, in the hardships, in the trials, in these moments, we trust in his tomorrows, which are better by far. Thanks for listening this morning, guys. Let's pray. Father God, we love you so much. And God, I know right now in this room, there's a mixed bag of people. And I know that some of us right now, God, are going through such hard times in our life. And we have those pieces right now where we just don't know where they fit. God, I pray for our hearts. I pray that you would just lead us, that you would guide us, that God, even though we will never perfectly see until that day where we see you anew in heaven, God, I pray that even now you will encourage us, that you will lead us, that you will give us the strength to really trust you, to put our faith in you. God, let us be a people today that are known for our trust, that even though we live in the tension of the now, God, that you will sustain us, that you will lead us, that you will walk with us. God, we love how you continue to affirm us until we get to the then. God, would you be our portion? Would you be our strength in these times when we get these puzzle pieces? Would you really, in just an overwhelming way, give us the strength to get through these moments? Let us be a people, let us be a church, let us be a family that is known for our dependence, for our trust, for our unwavering faith in you, God, through the good times and through the bad, through the ups and downs of life. And God, we place our trust and we place our hope knowing that you ultimately hold the picture box and you are up to something so much bigger. And God, we look forward to the day where we can look back and really, truly understand it all. God, we love you. God, we trust you. And God, we're going to sing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.